Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh!
Let him play!
He wins. Great steak. Smells like poop.
Honestly, like, if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut, bring him on. I mean, come on. I'll take him, too.
Nia Jackson, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh!
Can we isolate that clip? Nia Jackson weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the other big football show. This is part two of our Super Bowl week 2020 coverage as we count down to Super Bowl 54 from South Beach in Miami, and a stadium that has had at least five names in its lifetime. It is now known as Hard Rock Stadium, and it will feature a game between our next guest's beloved 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs, both franchises that we've long known in the NFL, and it should be a fun game. So anyway, let's get you right to it. And you have not heard from this fella in a while, so I'm happy to have him back. Coach Andrew Jacobson is back with us. How's it going, buddy?
Good. How are you doing, Dave?
Good. We know that you are now in the Mile High City of Denver, where things can be very... very nice. I mean, they've got their own little sports scene going. I mean, obviously not the greatest year for the Broncos, but still a lot of good sports. You know, the Nuggets and the Avalanche and the Rockies. But the teams are pretty good, right?
The Broncos will not be in the Super Bowl on Sunday.
No.
That we know. Yeah. And it could be a while before we see them in another Super Bowl.
Yeah, very true. But, you know, I mean... it wasn't that long ago when they won the Super Bowl, so you got to give them a little props for that. I mean, Peyton Manning kind of led them there.
4 years ago.
Yeah. It feels like a lot longer.
Yeah, it was 4 years.
Yeah. But
yeah, I know. Well, that's what the Trump administration will do to you, Dave.
I know, man.
But it was only 4 years ago.
For sure. Oh, man. But, yeah, so you must be excited. You got the Niners, coming – really having a big year. It's really interesting how they didn't even seem like a factor a year ago. So that just goes to show you how good the coaching's been and how a lot of things have come together, yeah?
Well, I mean, they only won four games last year, if you really think about it. I mean, it was a bad year. It's really, you know, even Shanahan's first 2 years, they won like two games the first year, and then they won four games. So... it's been really lean, and actually a lot of talk coming into this year was, you know, this group had to show out this year, and they had to do something to indicate or show like, hey, this is working. And certainly, you know, they certainly did that, being that they're going to be playing this Sunday.
Wow, it was a close call, huh? So they were really putting an ultimatum on it, and here you are suddenly going to wow.
Yeah, I think there were some rumblings that, you know, had this year not gone very well, I don't think he would have been gone. Because, I mean, Shanahan and Lynch signed six-year deals. Mm-hmm. So you know, they were, you know, pretty solid footing. But I think had this year not gone well and had the Niners produced another losing season, I think they probably would have been on the hot seat going into this next year. But obviously you get 13 wins and you find yourself in the Super Bowl, that's going to change a lot of people's minds pretty quickly.
Yeah. It's been a great year. I mean, all things considered, I know there have been ups and there've been definite downs for the 49ers throughout the season, but with that in mind, like, are you surprised how quickly things came together?
Yes. I thought, obviously, you know, 2 years ago when they got Garoppolo and he came in and he wins like, you know, the last five games of the season, there was a lot of optimism heading into last year, and kind of thinking like, oh, you know, this team might do something. They might be pretty good. You know, they finished the year strong the year before. And then Garoppolo gets hurt in week three versus, of all teams, Kansas City.
Yeah. Wow.
And he ends up missing the rest of the year. Team kind of went into the tank a little bit. But, you know, and then this year, I think there was that optimism was kind of back, but it was a little more tentative, I think, with a lot of fans just because of what happened the year before. And there was so much optimism and then it ended up being awful. And I think where they are wildly exceeded anybody's real expectations of where this, I mean, even myself, I thought, you know, 49ers should be pretty good, should maybe have a winning record, you know, maybe make the playoffs, maybe win a playoff game. I certainly coming into the season did not think that we would be seeing this team play the first weekend of February.
Yeah. Now that it's certainly been remarkable, and it took a while for the rest of the league to catch on. And we were talking about how, because of how bad they were the year before, the NFL gave them like no flexibility in scheduling. And you had some weird situations where in the middle of the season, you had them forced to play like 10 a.m. games, and most of them, the big markets couldn't even carry them because they had no place to put them. Like, they were like, well, you're not going to put them on against the, you know, instead of the Packer game or the Bears game or the Giants game. And so it was a little funny for a while there. Like, they couldn't like flex them into the primetime slot, or they were on the single header network and they were on it like 4:05. It was just weird. It's just like, it was a strange, right? Like, it took a while for everybody to catch up.
Yeah. The weird thing with that whole thing is, I mean, it kind of shows kind of the biases that we have that we're not really necessarily aware of.
Yeah.
You know, like a team like the 49ers have this good year, but it takes a long time for fans around the country to really buy it, you know, because you just haven't done it before. You know, you're much more willing to buy into a team like the Chiefs, who, you know, they were great last year. So you kind of give them the benefit of the doubt and you kind of think, okay, well, they'll be really good. The Chiefs kind of had a little bit of a downslide middle of the season, and it was kind of a rough go in the early part of the season. But they're always going to get a little bit of the benefit of the doubt just because we've seen what they've done recently.
Yeah.
Whereas the Niners haven't done that. So they kind of start at a point of, well, I don't really know what to make of this team. I know they haven't been very good. And it takes, I guess, longer for people to really buy into them.
Yeah, definitely. And do you think that eventually the public at large did buy into them near the end of the season?
Yeah, I think so. I think at this point, you know, people know what they are. The Super Bowl is interesting because, you know, to some degree, I've been a little surprised. I thought Kansas City would be a bigger favorite than they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because of the Mahomes factor and Andy Reid and these, you know, some somewhat known entities that you have on that team. And even though I think as a team, I think the 49ers are better. I mean, if you kind of think about it, if you just look at like defense and offense, the offense of Kansas City is probably the best of all the units. You know, they're probably better than the Niners offense. They're probably better than the Niners defense. They're better certainly than the Kansas City defense. But I think 2 and 3 would pretty much be 49ers offense, 49ers defense. And then the fourth best unit on this squad would be the Chiefs defense. So when you look at the two teams in terms of completeness and who's maybe the better overall team, I don't think there's a lot of argument that it's the 49ers. It's just the Chiefs have this guy named Patrick Mahomes, and he's really kind of really good. So, and that's a scary proposition going in as a Niner fan
into
Sunday's game.
Are there elements of Mahomes' game that remind you of Russell Wilson? I know you're familiar with him quite a lot because of the division rivalry with Seattle.
Yeah, I think where they're similar to some degree is some of the scrambling, the movement in the pocket, the ability to kind of extend plays. That's something that Mahomes, you know, is really, really good at, and almost to some degree, maybe even underrated at. He was really limited earlier in the year. He had some ankle injuries. Then obviously had the injury here in Denver, where he got his knee twisted or whatever, hyperextended. But he's looked as good moving around in these playoff games as he's looked all year. And that's one aspect, that I know we've kind of chatted about on email that scares the living crap out of me is just the idea that, you know, it's one thing that the 49ers kind of struggled with this year is the quarterbacks that have good pocket awareness, good movement in the pocket, able to avoid a rush, extend plays. Russell Wilson certainly is maybe the best quarterback in the league at that. Mm-hmm. And Kyler Murray was the other one in the 49ers division this year that really gave the 49ers issues. And that's one of the things that scares me to death when it comes to the game on Sunday is, yeah, the 49ers have a great pass rush, but even if that pass rush collapses the pocket or it's giving Mahomes, you know, difficulty to some degree, his ability to escape that, get out of the pocket by time, particularly when you have receiving threats like Hardman and Hill, who are so fast. I mean, it's a scary proposition that it just takes a guy in the secondary just a split second of hesitation to leave one of those guys wide open running behind him. So I think one of the keys come Sunday for the 49ers is going to be to really make Kansas City, one, obviously, contain Mahomes and try to, as much as possible, make sure he doesn't extend plays and able to break the pocket and throw things down the field. But I think the other part of that is going to be, you know, limiting Kansas City's big plays as much as they can. And the 49ers actually were very good with that this year. In fact, I think in their secondary, they gave up like the fewest, you know, explosive plays or big plays in the league. They're going to have to do that on Sunday. Because I think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to come out firing big time. I think they're going to come out really ultra aggressive, and they're going to really try, particularly early in the game, I think they're going to really try and take some big shots.
You know, I was thinking along those lines, too. You know, I was on with my friend John talking about the matchup a little bit, too, and I did think that they're going to try to really haul the ball, like, in their first possession. But the big question is, who's going to get the ball first? And believe it or not, in a game like this, I think that's a significant question because, like, think you could really set the pace tone of the game based on just having the ball first. So, you know, do you agree that the coin flip might actually be a big factor in the game?
Well, I think maybe more so for the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because it used to be back in the day, teams would win the coin toss that they'd want the ball first. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of has changed over recent years where now you win the coin toss and you defer.
Right.
You know, I actually want the 49ers to get the ball first in this game. I think it would be if the 49ers could get the ball first, go on a nice little drive, maybe put up some points. I actually think that would be potentially a huge advantage in this game because you're kind of then to some degree it enables you as a team to kind of dictate the pace of the game at that point.
Yeah.
If Kansas City gets the ball first, you know, if they fly down the field in five plays and score a touchdown, I mean, that's not going to elicit some kind of a great feel for your team. So
right.
To some degree, I don't know. Part of me is thinking, okay, well, you know, 49ers will call the toss. To some degree, I hope we lose it because the 49ers generally do defer. I don't know if they'll change their mind on that going into this game or not. I would assume no, but to some degree, I don't know. I'm kind of like, okay, well, I kind of hope the 49ers lose the toss and maybe that way we get the ball first. And if we can put a good drive together that first drive, that would be a great way to start the game and really give the team some confidence. But I don't know. You know, I mean, you can look at it other ways. I mean, the big coaches like the whole, like, oh, if we have the ball at the end of the first half and we get the ball at the beginning of the second half, that's a huge advantage. You know, some of that stuff, I think, somewhat gets overrated. And I think to some degree, all that stuff kind of equals out usually by the time the game ends.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a number of situations in Super Bowls where teams have a great start and then they just die. You know,
sure.
I mean, but speaking of Super Bowls in Miami, the Bears returned to kickoff against the Colts, opening play of the game for a touchdown, and then they were basically blown out after that. So
that's true. Yeah.
You know, I personally would like the Niners to get the ball first just because I think, you know, if we put a good drive together, go down, get some early points on this on the board. I think that would be huge. I definitely don't want to see the Chiefs get the ball and then score in like three plays. So,
yeah.
But you know, I think it, ultimately the first drive itself will not obviously determine what's going to happen in the entire game. And the Chiefs have gotten off to rough starts in these playoffs.
Yeah,
I mean, they but down 24 to Houston, down 10 to Tennessee twice. So, I'm very interested to see how Kansas City starts this game. I think they'll start it very aggressively, particularly with Mahomes and throwing the ball. I think they're going to come out that first drive and just be chucking it everywhere that when they get it. So, but we'll see.
You know, they have been starting slow. I noticed we both have seen that the Chiefs, you know, really have not scored anything in the first quarter in two games that they've played in the playoffs. Both of them at home, no less. So here's the big question regarding the first quarter. Your over-under for the first quarter, let's see if I have this right, yeah, is 10 points. Now, do you think that you will have more or less than 10, or 10, will you have more than 10 points or less than 10 points in the first quarter between the two teams?
You know, I think if it was almost any other Super Bowl, I would definitely go under. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, generally in Super Bowls, teams tend to start slow, or Super Bowls a lot of times will start a little slow.
Yeah.
Teams kind of feel each other out. You know, they've had 2 weeks. They kind of like to see maybe what the other teams that, and you kind of get sometimes the feeling like teams don't want to make a big mistake early. They want to get people settled into the game and kind of get things going. I actually think with this game, you know, I think both these coaches are going to be really aggressive early. You know, KC obviously I think is going to want to be really aggressive, in part because I think they're going to want to get an early lead, you know, so that they can kind of dictate how this game is going to go. They don't want to have the 49ers just dive into their running game and just pound that the whole time. They want to try and get the 49ers into a situation where they're behind and they're going to feel like they need to come back a little bit and put more of the game on Garoppolo. So I think Kansas City is going to be really aggressive early. And I think Shanahan's going to have a few things up his sleeve kind of early in the football game as well. You know, two coaches, Reed and Shanahan, I mean, you give those two guys 2 weeks and they can come up with a lot of different stuff.
Yep.
So it's, I think the under is a safer play in
but
the
for
sense
the game.
That, you know, 10 for the first quarter, I think it's a safer play in the sense that scoring 10 points. I mean, you got to get basically two touchdowns to beat that.
Yeah.
But I do think that if we're, you know, this could be a Super Bowl where we could see a good amount of points. And I think where things maybe could start a little faster than maybe what they usually do in Super Bowls.
Yeah, I think because it's only 10, I thought it would be higher. I thought it'd be like 13 or 12. And yeah, I don't know about 10. Like that's
10,
a little tricky.
10 feels about right because that's a touchdown and a field goal.
Yeah.
So, and that it's very possible that you could get that early in the game. Because, I mean, if you think about it, each team might get the ball twice in the first quarter. And if one team goes on a long drive, then you're maybe looking at, you know, only three drives in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tricky play. But I generally, in Super Bowls, my rule is always first half unders,
right.
Second half overs.
Let me give you the first half under. It is 27 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
too.
I would probably go under on that.
Yeah, me too.
You know, and you know, I know Tom Brady had an interview with Peter King a few years ago about this, talking about with Super Bowls, kind of the slow starts that the Patriots had. And then he talked about how at the end of a lot of his Super Bowls he was in, it was really difficult for teams to stop the other team. You know, and Super Bowls a lot of times will end up being pretty high scoring, particularly in the second half of games. I just think a lot of times defenses wear down. It's a long game. It's an emotional game. A lot of these players are hyped up hours before kickoff. So when it, you know, by the time the third quarter comes around, they feel like they've already played an entire game. So a lot of times you'll see more scoring or higher scoring, you know, in the second half. Mm-hmm. And I certainly think that there's a possibility of that happening. So my general rule for Super Bowls, first half unders, second half overs.
Yeah. I think that's pretty solid. Now, you can't actually bet on the second half yet because you got to wait till halftime. But they do have third and fourth quarter over-unders. So see what you think of these. Okay. So the third quarter, the over-under is 10.5. The fourth quarter, 14.5. Would you take both of those?
Oof. Well, I don't think I would take them now. I would kind of see how the game's playing out, you know, in the first half. I think taking both of those now would be dangerous because you never know how the game looks or how the game flows. Mm-hmm. But they seem about right. The fourth quarter one might be a little high.
Yeah.
If the game is a blowout, I would definitely go under in that fourth quarter one. Just because one team might be just running the clock out or, you know, not really trying to score, but more working on time. Mm-hmm. So, those two, I would, though, like I said, I would probably wait till, you know, the game starts and kicks off and then we're at, you know, we're seeing Jennifer Lopez up there singing and everything. That's when I think you'd start thinking about what you're going to do for that third or fourth quarter over under.
Yeah, for sure. Quick question. Do you think that A-Rod will make an appearance, even if it's just like him in the stands during the halftime show?
Well, I think he'll be shown at some point, right? Because he's a Fox guy.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, he's on Fox during postseason. That's true.
Fox is broadcasting the game. He's a Fox broadcaster. It's just, you know, he'll probably pull the Rob Lowe thing sitting somewhere on the sideline with an NFL helmet hat on.
Yeah. With an NFL hat on. That's funny. That's hysterical. Yeah, and then so, they always act like, oh my goodness, look who's in the stands. They act all surprised, like they didn't plan it the whole time.
Yeah, totally set up. But it would make sense. I think him being a Fox broadcaster, Jennifer Lopez, you know, being part of the whole thing, I think at some point A-Rod will appear on my television on Sunday.
No, that's a guarantee. I think he'll be on there somewhere in the telecast, absolutely. So number two, will the Patriots 28-3 score or deficit be mentioned during the game? This is a prop bet on Bovada, and it's kind of a random question because I'm like, why would they care about that? Like, I don't really, because of Shanahan, I guess? Like, why would that even be in play?
It's because of Shanahan.
Okay.
And he has actually been asked about it a bunch this week. Mm-hmm. In fact, so much so that one of the 49ers beat writers who's covered the team, he goes to all the press conferences, he sees all the stuff. And at this point, it's kind of getting annoying, all the questions about 28-3. So it's been brought up a ton to Shanahan this week. He's had to answer questions about it. I think Fox will at some point definitely talk about that because, you know, I mean, that was a big deal, you know?
I mean,
that was the biggest lead ever in Super Bowl history that was given up. Now, you know, he was the offensive coordinator. He was not the head coach, and certainly Atlanta's defense had a large role to play in the fact that they gave up that lead. But Shanahan took a lot of crap for it just because of some of the play calling late in that game. But I think it will definitely come up. And I think to some degree, I think it's motivation for Shanahan in this game. And in some ways, especially going against a guy like Pat Mahomes in Kansas City, we've seen them come back from big deficits here in the playoffs. I think it's going to be something, particularly if San Francisco gets out to a lead or something, that they'll definitely bring up, you know, just kind of foreshadowing potential comebacks or something by Kansas City.
Yeah. I think that's a very good call. You know, I didn't even think of that. It just came to my attention today that, yeah, he was the OC back then. So it's like, that's right. That would make sense.
He was, and they actually have a bet I think it's 100-1 or something like that. That's, will the 49ers blow a 28-3
lead? Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
which is like burning money. You might as
yeah,
well
that's just, that. You know, he's got.
You just might as well. Yeah, because I mean, the odds the Niners would even lead at some point 28-3 is probably less than 100-1.
Yeah.
Or more than 100-1, I should say. So. You know, the fact that they would then get that lead and blow it, you know, you should get like a million to one on a set like that.
Well, just the idea that the Chiefs could be held to 3 points. Like, how is that? There's just, I can't even see that. Like, just, that's not even possible.
Yeah. I would be super happy about that, but, other people might be, feel happier, a little shocked.
Yeah. People with some scratch in the game, probably not too excited about the 3 points. But seriously,
yeah.
You know, it's just, it's not likely. I think you're right. I think that would be really amazing just to even be in that position again. And by the way,
you
mentioned this, I think, already, but you had the sense that Shanahan would not make that mistake again. Because the issue at the time was that he was over-aggressive. He was just chucking the ball around with that big of a lead in the fourth quarter. And it obviously came back to bite him. I mean, there are, you know, we all want coaches to be more aggressive, but sometimes you got to dial it back. And I think this is the nuance is key here. So, do you feel like he's learned from that situation?
Well, I mean, what he said this week is that really there was really only one play call that he'd like to have back, which was a play where it was like second and 10 or second and 11, very late, kind of Atlanta's last drive of the fourth quarter. And he threw it, and Matt Ryan ended up taking a sack, which knocked him out of field goal range.
Right, sack, yeah.
He kind of says, well, I wish I ran it on that, because then they would have kept in field goal range, kicked the field goal, and a field goal really at that time probably would have ended the football game.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, when you actually go back and look at it, I don't think it's as bad as people made it out to be. In fact, there was the play with when Hightower stripped the ball from Matt Ryan, and the Patriots recovered and they scored a touchdown. That was a big part of that comeback. That was actually a play where they did play action, and the guy Matt Ryan was going to try and throw the ball to and was winding up to start throwing the ball to was wide open. I mean, it would have been like an 80-yard touchdown. He was wide open, and if Matt Ryan had just a split second more, gets that ball off, Atlanta scores there, and then we never probably ever see any kind of comeback. So, I mean, it just kind of goes to show how thin that line is between potentially winning or losing a game or things kind of going your way or not. I mean, that play itself could have potentially won the game, basically, for Atlanta, a kind of sealed deal. Instead, Hightower got to Ryan just before he got rid of the ball, fumble, Patriots get it, and then they end up scoring a touchdown, and that was a big part of the start of the comeback. But but Atlanta had a touchdown on that play if Ryan just had a split second more to get rid of that football.
That's true. And even after the fact, there were so many chances beyond that for the Falcons to find a way to win that game. And, you know, they still had to go to overtime, the Patriots did, to win. If they had played any defense in overtime at all and limited them to a field goal, they would have had yet another chance to win the game. But they were so beaten down by then, they just gave up the touchdown.
The defense was so worn out. I mean, New England had the ball, I think, like 40 minutes of the game or something like that, like, time of possession, New England was just dominated the game, and the Atlanta defense had nothing when overtime started.
Yeah. No, that, I mean, I guess it was fair to say, because I felt this way at the time, that once they got to overtime, it's like the momentum is like all New England by then. So it's like, yeah, spiritually, I think like they were already defeated. So that's a fair point.
And one of the great things about this Super Bowl. And I think most people will agree with this. No Patriots.
Yeah, I like that. I agree with you.
I think, and I'm not a Patriots hater. I'm actually a Tom Brady fan and a big fan of kind of the Patriots just in general.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the fact that we have, you know, Pat Mahomes in this, and then you have this kind of upstart 49ers team, there's a certain freshness to this Super Bowl that's kind of been lacking the last number of years. Because, I mean, you think about it, that Broncos Super Bowl, we talked about how long ago that felt.
Yeah.
That was the last time the Patriots were not in a Super Bowl. They were, you know, three in a row there, going back to the Atlanta game, going back to the Philadelphia game, going back to last year in the Rams game. I think last year there was really a lack of energy and a lack of people really
right.
being excited and hyped for the Super Bowl. And I think it was just a lot of that was just New England fatigue. And
yeah.
so I think having the
yeah.
two teams that we have in it this year, I just think it's there's a palpable difference in terms of the excitement level for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no matter how interesting or fascinating or dominant your team is, you're going to have fatigue after a while. I mean, the Patriots at that point were in what number of Super Bowl was that by then? I mean, they won five.
I think.
And then they lost.
That was their 13th Super Bowl.
Well, is that including the one from 86 and the one from 96, from 97?
I'm just kidding.
It's not that far off, though, but think about it. Like,
That's the funny thing. Like, you think, like, oh, my God, you know, 13. But then you kind of think, like, is it 13? Because it might be 13.
Yeah. You know it's
Well, they had the two early, right? So then they had the
right.
one against the Rams.
Yeah.
They had the one against the Eagles.
Yeah.
They had the one against the Panthers.
Yeah. So that's the first three.
Jake Del Holm, for those of you who want. Then they had the two against the Giants.
Yep, that they lost.
That they lost both of those mm-hmm. to future Hall of Fame quarterback Eli Manning. and then they won three in a row. Or they were in the last three, I should say. They were in three in a row. So, yeah, that's. I threw 13 out there just to try and be funny, but then I realized, like, oh, man, that was almost accurate.
Yeah, it's pretty close. So, now for Miami, this would be, I don't have the number, but it's their first Super Bowl in 10 years, exactly 10 years. And when they were last doing a Super Bowl, it was between the Colts and the Saints. The Colts were heavily favored, and we were on the podcast at the time debating that matchup. And I was, you know, I get a lot of stuff wrong, but I did get it right that time with the Saints. And that was the beginning of the Saints' real, like, playoff success, I think. Not that they had some good years before, but you know, like, that was a memorable Super Bowl. That was really fun. So, you know, what were your thoughts on that last Super Bowl and other Super Bowls in Miami's history over the years?
You know, the interesting thing about that Saints one, Colts, it was the last Super Bowl for Peyton Manning as a Colt.
Yeah.
He would be in the Super Bowl again, but he would be in a Broncos uniform by then. It was kind of the beginning of Drew Brees' elevation to being a top-level quarterback.
Yep.
And the other thing there is the Saints haven't been back. Like, it's kind of crazy. You have Drew Brees and Sean Payton, and this, you know, we kind of talk about this great quarterback coach combination with those two. And that was the only Super Bowl that they've gone to. I know they've been close in other opportunities, especially last year, obviously the bad call or non-call at the end of that game. But it's kind of amazing when you think about it that, you know, here's this great quarterback coach duo, and that could end up being the only Super Bowl that those two actually ever appear in together.
That is surprising. I really thought they'd be in at least one more. Yeah, I got to say, I'm a little disappointed.
You just think of those two when you think of, well, Sean Payton's really good coach, and you think of Drew Brees, Hall of Fame quarterback, and you think, like, oh, you know, this was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You'd think maybe one or two other times they'd slip in there, but that hasn't happened. Miami's one of my favorite Super Bowl destinations where the game can be played. It just kind of feels Super Bowl-y. It's, you know, kind of, you know, Miami, it's Florida, it's good weather.
Mm-hmm.
I like Super Bowls that are outdoors instead of in domes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got such great history. I mean, really, three of the first five Super Bowls were played in Miami, including the Namath
the famous
Guarantee Super Bowl.
Super Bowl III, yeah.
You know, the Packers won Super Bowl II in Miami. You know, the 49ers have won Super Bowls in Miami. This will be the third Super Bowl they've played in that's been in Miami. So I like it. Now it's kind of weird because it's, I guess, Hard Rock Stadium, and they built like a canopy over it or something. You know, it looks a little different. In fact, this week I saw they put heaters on parts of the field that were in the shade to try to get the grass to grow. Because most of the field now that it's kind of has, it's more covered than it used to be. A lot of the field doesn't get any sun on it this time of year. So they actually put stuff on it to try and make the grass grow this week, to get it ready for the game. So it's definitely going to look a lot different than it has in the past, in Super Bowls, but it is one of my favorite Super Bowl sites.
Yeah. Like you said, a lot of history, and I used to get really annoyed at the frequency for which, Super Bowls would go there, but it has now been a whole decade. So I don't feel that way anymore. So I'm happy to have it back too. I mean, there's always it seems like a fun time for the broadcasters who go. A lot to do over there, and a little too much to do for the players. You know, there's a history there too.
There has been some incidents. Yeah, crossing my fingers we don't have any bad news between now and Sunday for the 49ers. Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting. We've had a lot of weird Super Bowl. I mean, Minneapolis had a Super Bowl game here recently. Mm-hmm. New York had a Super Bowl. You know, Santa Clara had a Super Bowl. You know, I mean, you know, Indianapolis had a Super Bowl. You know, we've had some weird ones because of all these new stadiums being built.
Yeah.
Personally, I think it should be like L.A., Vegas now with their stadiums. So L.A. and Vegas with new stadiums.
New Orleans.
Miami, New Orleans, you know, Arizona. Like, it should be like those five.
Yeah.
Located every 5 years between those destinations.
Yeah. I mean, they do. I know why they do that. It's just like the All-Star game for baseball. They do it for the pop. They like, well, okay, you build a stadium, you get a Super Bowl. That's usually the deal. So that's what that's about. But since most of the cities have new stadia now, that's not really in play like it used to be.
There should be. I don't think there's any. I mean, outside of obviously Vegas and L.A., and those are, like I said, great places to potentially have a game anyway.
Right.
You know, everybody else is kind of set with their stadium. So,
yeah.
So I'm happy it's in Miami. 49ers have a good history there. They beat the Bengals years ago in Miami, and then they beat the Chargers in Miami. So, you know, good history there. So looking forward to that part of it.
Do you remember Super Bowl 23 when it was on? Like, were you old enough to remember that comeback? Because at that, you would have been 8, right?
I was 8 years old. I sort of kind of remember it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a few things I remember about that Super Bowl. One is, I was the only one that was kind of rooting for the team in red.
What?
My mom's family,
really?
We were watching with. My mom's family's from Ohio.
Oh, yeah,
so
right.
They were rooting for the Bengals in the Super Bowl. And my family were not 49er fans. They were kind of a local team. So for me, I didn't have a firm grasp about that team. But, you know, it's really the first Super Bowl I remember ever watching. And it's, my memory's not vivid about it. It's kind of smattered. So I remember that. And then the other thing I remember is going with my mom after the game ended to Burger King to get food. I remember that as well.
That's
which is
funny.
Kind of an odd. I remember pulling out of the driveway for some reason, heading out to go get food. So the first Super Bowl that I have a vivid memory about is actually Super Bowl 24, which was the one where the 49ers destroyed the hometown team here in Denver. That one I actually have a very vivid memory for. I went to my grandparents' house, who had a big Super Bowl party, had a lot of people over, and it was all 49er fans.
Oh, wow.
And we were watching the game, and I remember sitting on the floor drawing football players and making pictures while I was watching the game. And that was really when I, that 1989 season is really when I became a full-fledged 49er fan. So that's where it kind of started with me when I was about 9 years old.
Yeah, that was a big year. I mean, they went 15-1, I believe. They just trashed everybody in the playoffs. Like, they had the Rams had no chance.
Yep. They went 14-2.
Oh, 14-2.
They destroyed
the
Vikings. They destroyed the Rams in the playoffs, and then they went and obviously it was the biggest blowout in Super Bowl history. They won. They beat the Broncos by 45. Wow. 55-10. So so that was that year kind of cemented me as a Niner fan, and that's kind of obviously what I've been ever since.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And I mean, sometimes that has been a hindrance for you. I know that the Nolan years were rough, but generally,
Mike Singletary years, Dave, those were awesome.
Oh man! And then your guy Jim Tomsula after that. Oh, those are the days.
And then we had UCLA legendary coach Chip Kelly. It's been fantastic. which is kind of crazy to think about. I mean, the Niners were not in a Super Bowl, or were in a Super Bowl really not too long ago, if you really kind of think about it.
That's right.
When they played the Ravens a few years ago. So, I mean, even you think of all this, you know, how it's been rough and it's been hard times, but they had a little stretch there under Harbaugh in the, 2011, 2012, 2013, where, they were good. They were really good. If not for the man I hate more than anything in my life, Joe Flacco.
Right.
So, but it's crazy that wasn't that long ago. And, you know, it feels like it was a long time ago, but it really wasn't. And here they're back, and it's basically an entire new group. It's really the only guy that's on the team still from then is Joe Staley.
Wow. Yeah. No, I mean, that was a fair amount. That was a good number of years ago, though. It's like over half a decade ago, right? So 7 years or so.
2013. So yeah, it would have been about 7 years ago.
Yep. I remember that game. That was a fun game. I mean, that was not in Miami. That was in New Orleans, but that blackout, the power outage at halftime or right after Beyonce's thing, that was so crazy. I've never seen anything like that in a Super Bowl. And, you know, a lot of people have credited the power outage for putting the Ravens back in the game. I mean, do you subscribe to that, or do you feel like that's just more of a coincidence?
I think it definitely helped the 49ers.
It helped the 49ers.
I do think there was a little... Well, I mean, the 49ers were the ones who were way behind it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jeez Louise. Look at me. You're right. They were way behind. I take that back. That's right.
They were way behind. It was actually, I think it was 21-6 at halftime. Mm-hmm. And then Baltimore returned the kickoff for a touchdown to start the second half. So it was 28-6 in that game at that point when the power went out.
Yeah.
And then the 49ers came out steamrolling after that. I think it did. I think it kind of broke up some of the momentum a little bit for Baltimore. I think San Francisco probably would have made it more of a game of it anyways, but I definitely think the blackout and that, you know, that break kind of allowed the teams to kind of regroup and resettle, and I think it took the Ravens kind of out of what they were doing, and I think it let the 49ers kind of get things going and get moving. And I mean, the great thing about having your team in the Super Bowl is these 2 weeks leading up to it.
Yep.
You know, you're just excited. You're thinking about it. It's your team and, you're all stuff and, you hear about your team everywhere and everything. It's a lot of fun. The actual game itself is not a whole lot of fun. I actually sometimes enjoy Super Bowls more if it's not involving my team, because then it's just like 4 hours of stress, watching the game.
Right, I hear you. You know, I've been
there. And it can be, aggravating versus if it's just, New England and Philadelphia and you don't really care who wins and there's just a lot of points and it's like, oh, this is fun, but if it's your team, it's stress. So
yeah,
it's been fun these 2 weeks and I'm looking forward to it, but I know come Sunday, at kickoff, and after, I'm going to be on edge for, you know, 4 hours. And hopefully it will be a nice ending, because that Ravens one was crazy, because, I mean, 49ers fall way behind. And then you're thinking like, oh my gosh, we got to the Super Bowl, we shit the bed, and we're terrible. And then they have this incredible comeback, and then you're starting to think like, oh man, maybe we can win. And remember, they drove all the way down to the goal line.
Yeah.
And then, and I think they would have scored. I still think that where they had the play where Kaepernick was going to roll out to the right on a running play, but Harbaugh called timeout right before the play was snapped. Mm. I think that was going to be a touchdown when you look at the start of that play and how that whole thing developed. But then to lose it, I mean, it was just, I was so emotionally drained after that game.
Yeah, I don't blame
you. Like, that was one of the worst experiences of my life. But, you know, so hopefully we won't have a similar outcome this Sunday.
Yeah. Well, I do invite you guys to keep texting me, you know, for the audience. Andrew and Jacob love to text me during the 49ers games. I love it. I think it's great. It keeps me in the know with what they're up to every week. And hopefully...
I'm sure there will be some text flying around on Sunday.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Hopefully happier text. We'll see. I mean, I picked the Chiefs in the game. I told you the score in the emails. I have 27-23. Now, where's your actual score prediction? Do you have that for us?
Mine's 31-28. So pretty close to yours.
Okay.
To some degree. I think we'll see points. I said earlier that I think that 30 is the key number. Mm-hmm. I think if you're the 49ers offense, you've got to go into the game thinking we got to score at least 30 to really have a chance to win the football game. And I think defensively for the 49ers, I think if you're thinking like, if we can hold them below 30, then that should be pretty good given how good this Chiefs offense is.
Oh yeah.
So I think 30 is kind of feels to me like kind of a key number. You know, maybe we won't get there, but I think, you know, I think there should be points scored in this one. So I think that's going to be about where these teams kind of end up. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be close. I don't think we'll see a blowout either way. I think both these teams, obviously Kansas City, and how good they are offensively and what we've seen from them in terms of being able to come back from pretty significant deficits. They're never out of it. So I think they'll keep it a tight game, even if they do fall a little bit behind. And I think the 49ers, like I said, I think they're the more complete team here. They're the more physical team here. So I have a hard time seeing Kansas City coming in and pushing them around. So
right.
I do think it will be a good game, and I think it will be close, competitive, and probably a fourth quarter game.
And the winner is? Because you didn't mention the winner.
So I'm not picking. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to say Chiefs.
All right.
And I'm saying that probably more as a defense mechanism.
That's all right. I mean, I do that too. We all do that. It's all good.
Because going into the Ravens 49ers Super Bowl, I really felt like the 49ers were going to win that game. And mm-hmm. the 49ers were a pretty significant favorite going into that game. And I think the 49ers should have won the game. I think they were the better team and still think they were the better team. So if I go into this thinking that the Chiefs are probably going to win, if the 49ers do lose, I feel like it won't feel as bad if I convince myself beforehand that they're going to lose. But I do think it's if the 49ers won, it would not be shocking. It wouldn't be surprising. I think when you look at the history of Super Bowls, particularly the recent history of Super Bowls, I think there's a lot of things there that are positive potentially for how it sets up for the 49ers, in the sense that generally in a lot of these Super Bowls, the better defense ends up beating the better offense in a lot of these games. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the 49ers have a very good opportunity to potentially win the game. But Patrick Mahomes scares me. Hardman scares me. Hill scares me. Mahomes' ability to move around. I just think that the Chiefs, with basically Mahomes alone, being playing at the level that he's playing at, it's just going to be a big uphill battle to try and beat that. And the 49ers defense has, you know, in times late in games this year, particularly the second half of the season, it's kind of struggled. I know they're highly ranked defensively, and they've generally been pretty good, but they have struggled at times, particularly kind of late in games. And so that makes me nervous, particularly if this game is close linked, that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs would have somewhat of an advantage there. But we'll see. I'm hoping it's a good game. Hope the 49ers win. I'll be rooting like crazy, obviously, for them. And I hope I'm wrong. But I'm leaning Chiefs right now in terms of the outcome.
All right. Well, you know, it should, like, I agree with you. It should be a fun game. Enjoy the game, Andrew. It's great to catch up with you again. I hope to have you back on here soon, too. And good luck to all your bets. I know you'll have a bunch of them. You got to put the red, right, on the Gatorade? Like, the red Gatorade is a cinch.
So the red Gatorade, I think, would be the one you have to go with in this situation.
Yeah.
Just because both teams are, their primary colors are red. But I don't know if that matters. You know? I mean, you know, who knows? It could be yellow. I feel like most often it's yellow.
It tends to be. So. Yeah, I guess it's true. I mean, I have seen a lot of yellow, and that's a good point. Okay. But anyway, enjoy. Yeah. Any preview as to what will be at the table for the Super Bowl party that you are at this year?
Food-wise?
Mm-hmm. And drinks. Drinks, too.
Well, I will be drinking a lot of Whiskey Cokes. So
that will factor in the texts.
it will help with the text messages that you get, or maybe not help. One of the two. Yeah. There will be chips. I tend to for Super Bowls, it's always kind of more snacky stuff. So okay. Like it's like chicken fingers, get some chips and dip. I don't like big meal stuff. I just like the idea of just kind of snacking on stuff the whole time. So some brownies or something. So yeah, it'd be a good little spread. I even bought some 49er paper plates and napkins.
Oh, that's nice. That's
so cool. We'll be rocking those on Super Bowl Sunday.
How many jerseys will you have on display on the walls and the couches throughout the apartment?
Well, so the jerseys are already up.
Okay.
I've got a Rice jersey, a Montana jersey, a Young jersey. So those are your Super Bowl MVPs for the 49ers.
Right.
And then I got a Garoppolo jersey. So those have been up all week. It's Super Bowl week, so I put those up all week. I put those up on Sunday, and they've been up all week. If the 49ers somehow win on Sunday, they'll be up until probably August.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's awesome.
Wow. Well, Karen might not allow that, but we'll see.
Well, you know, Hank, yeah.
We still have our Christmas tree up, Dave, so we don't really tear stuff down too quickly around here.
Is that right? No kidding.
Yeah.
That is funny.
We do. It's a fake tree. So it's okay.
Gotcha. Well, either way, that's it's almost February now, guys. You might want to get on that.
Well, I have two 49er ornaments on the tree.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not superstitious, but I'm a little stitious. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when somebody's like, oh, maybe you guys should take on a tree, I said, don't touch the tree. Touch it. We have to wait till the season's over.
Right.
So, yeah.
For sure. Well, you know, the thing that's really great about the Super Bowl, you mentioned fresh blood. We're guaranteed to have somebody win a championship for the first time in at minimum 25 years. That is awesome.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yep.
I love that. So.
Yeah, and the one thing about it is, even if the 49ers lose, I do like Andy Reid a lot, and I think Mahomes is great. So part of me would be, just a very teeny weeny part of me would be kind of happy for Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I think Sunday night I won't be kind of happy for him, but I think eventually I'll be maybe a little bit happy for him getting that win. But hopefully the 49ers will keep him off the board when it comes to Super Bowl victories, at least for another year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to this end, I would be very happy to see either team win. Like, this is a rare Super Bowl in that there is no definitive team you don't want to win. Like, you're not rooting against either of these teams. Like, how could you root against Garoppolo? He's an exciting player. I have nothing bad to say about
him. He's beautiful.
He's beautiful. Well, Jacob would attest to that. handsome Jimmy. Yeah, but no, for sure. It's a good sign. I think the only guy that I would not root for, and you already know this, but Tyreek Hill, I can't. I don't ever want him to succeed. But besides that, it's a pretty rootable team. I like everybody else, so I can't really complain.
Yeah, I think both teams are pretty likable teams, and I think that kind of adds a little flavor to this. You don't have a team that's really kind of unlikable or anything like that. So I think most people would be kind of rooting and pulling for the Chiefs, but I think it's a good mix of two teams to have in there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, I say goodnight. Enjoy the game, buddy, and we'll talk sometime soon. Yeah.
I'll send you some drunken texts on Sunday.
Oh, I'm ready. I got the thing all charged up.
You know what I do? I don't drink during the first half. I start drinking at halftime and then drink during the second half.
Ooh, a little inside nugget.
And the reason for that is I'm kind of a quick drinker. Mm-hmm. So I kind of go through drinks pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can pound down pretty easily four or five drinks in a half of football. And during the Patriots Falcons game, I drank starting at the beginning of the football game, and I'll admit I knew they came back and won, but I was a little fuzzy on the details, and I had to go back and rewatch it the next day because I was so intoxicated at that point in the game. So I remember, like, okay, yeah, Patriots won. Okay, so I remember that. How did that happen? What was that? And I had to literally go back to watch it the next day to kind of refresh my memory on stuff.
I don't remember. So that's funny. Oh, you know what? But you know what that does? That saves you from that unfortunate tweet that you could have written around the third quarter, like, it's over for the Patriots, game over, forget it. Like you didn't write that tweet.
I did not. I was too drunk to type at that point. So even with my fingers on my phone. So I now try to play it sober for the first half, and then I start drinking in the second half. That's kind of been the play, and that's worked for me so far. Here in the playoffs and the season. So I'll continue that on Sunday.
The tradition continues for sure. All right, man. Well, all the best to you and Karen and Bailey, too. I hope she enjoys the game as well.
Bailey will enjoy it. She'll have her 49er collar on. She'll be all set.
Beauty. Love it. All right. So,
all right, Dave.
All right, buddy.
You enjoy the game.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
And we'll talk to you later.
Okay. Take care. All the best and good luck to the Niners.
All right, man.
All right. Take care.
Go Niners.
Yeah. All right. All right, that's Andrew Jacobson. That's our show tonight. And part two ends on a very nice note. That was fun. Hope you enjoyed it. One more part to our Super Bowl week coverage. Part three is tomorrow. And in part three, we have our prop bets for you with Kevin on the Cape and Tom in Virginia. So we hope you've enjoyed the show so far. I'm Dave Medina. You can find us on Twitter at DidCal, on the web at DidCal.com. Search for Dave the City Out West and give us a good 5-star rating, won't you? We'll see you next time.